I invite you to stand as you're able to hear the gospel message, which is the story of Jesus' transfiguration as told in the gospel according to Matthew. 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and his brother John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will make three dwellings for here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While Peter was still speaking, suddenly a bright cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud a voice said, "This is my son, the beloved. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell to the ground and were overcome by fear. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Get up and do not be afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus himself alone. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus ordered them, "Tell no one about this vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. A holy and loving God, we thank you for the gift of this day that you have called us together to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be present now in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O God, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. Amen. As I mentioned this morning in the greetings, this is our last Sunday of our season of Epiphany. Wednesday begins our Lenten journey with our Ash Wednesday service. And Lent, of course, is our journey that leads us finally to Jerusalem and the cross, and then the great joy of the resurrection that we celebrate on Easter morning. Our Epiphany season, which started right after Christmas and leads till today, has been a season of light and revelation. It's a time when we get to see glimpses of who that babe in Bethlehem, that Jesus of Nazareth, really is. And along that journey, we've also seen glimpses of who we are to be as disciples of Jesus Christ, how we are to act, how we are to dare to follow Jesus. And in today's lesson, that's very true. The story of the transfiguration that we heard from the gospel according to Matthew is the epitome of revelations. Here again, we hear that voice of God that we heard at Jesus' baptism. "This is my son, the beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And of course, added today is that little caveat, listen to him. Listen to him. We hear that, we see the reaction of the disciples, their fear, their sadness, their joy at this miraculous, mysterious event that was this mountaintop experience. Truly, this was the experience for the disciples even more than it was an experience for Jesus Christ. If you listen closely to Matthew's gospel, there's a lot of similarities with the story from Exodus that Joe read for us this morning. Moses has been summoned to Mount Sinai. He's been summoned to the mountain, this holy space, this holy ground. And he takes along with him Joshua, the heir apparent. And they go and they dare to approach the mountain. Moses has the elders stay behind. He feels that they're in good care with Hur and Aaron. And so they take off on this trek, on this journey, to obey the voice of God. And the cloud covers the mountain. For 6 days... 6 days, Moses and Joshua wait. That had to be an awfully long wait on that mountain to wonder what God was going to do, what God was going to say. And then finally on the seventh day, God calls Moses alone to come to the top of the mountain, to come and be engulfed in that cloud, which is the symbol of the glory of God, the very presence of God. Now from down below, where the elders are, that cloud appears to be a devouring fire. Can you imagine the fear of those elders and the people down below as they see Moses enter that cloud? They probably think he's a goner for good. 40 days and 40 nights, they wait for Moses to return. 40 days and 40 nights. Now, if you know your Old Testament story, you know that those people down in the valley didn't just sit around and wait for 40 days and 40 nights. Even under the direction of Aaron and Hur, they let fear overtake them. They have more fear than they have faith. And they believe that Moses probably is not coming back. Their leader is gone. And so, if their leader is gone, so is their faith in God, their faith in Yahweh. So they're quick to replace Yahweh, the glory of God in that mountaintop, with the idol of a golden calf. Their fear is greater than their faith. Their fear is greater than their faith. We don't know what Moses and God talked about those 40 days and 40 nights, what that conversation was like, but we know that Moses returned to the valley with the tablets that were the law and then all of the other explanations of the law. And he comes back down to the valley having had this conversation, having listened to God, and he has to come back to a valley of faithless, rebellious people who have thought that he was gone and that they have deserted even God. Moses had obeyed and listened to God, and now he needed to be the voice of God for the Israelites. He had to turn things around. He had to let them hear God's voice through him. That had to be a daunting task, to go from that mountaintop experience of 40 days and 40 nights with God, and then back down to the valley, where he had to get this rebellious, faithless people to hear God's voice again. Wilderness journeys are difficult in any situation. But to think that you would be without a leader and to reject God made that wilderness experience so much harder for the Israelites. They needed to come back to the Word of God. They needed to trust Moses again. They had to believe that God had a plan and a purpose. Erica Brown Wood, writing in Feasting on the Word, says this: "The people of Israel in Exodus respond with more disorientation and confusion than understanding. They rightfully and reasonably respond with holy fear. In their intense anxiety, they are woefully impatient. Unable to last the 40 days while Moses is on top of the mountain with God, they start constructing the golden calf. Even Aaron caves in. The miracles that God performed to get the people out of Egypt seem to have been forgotten. And the larger picture of the vision and mission for and by the people of God is trumped by their fear." They forgot that that mighty cloud, that glory of God, had been the very presence of God that led them to this place, that has kept them safe, that even brought them through the Red Sea. How quickly we forget, how quick we stop listening to that word of God, and how quick we can be without faith. 6 days. That's how long it was before Jesus took Peter, John, and James to that mountaintop. 6 days. You need to know the story that happens before the transfiguration to make sense of that 6 days reference. Right before this, the disciples and Jesus are in Caesarea Philippi. And Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And the disciples respond with a various number of answers. And then Jesus pointedly looks at disciples and says, "Who do you say that I am?" And you know this story. Peter says, "You are the Christ, you are the Messiah." And we know that Peter got that right. But the rest of that story is that Jesus then goes on to tell the truth, that the Messiah must suffer and die, that the purpose of their journey to go to Jerusalem is that he would be arrested and crucified, but then raised on the third day. And you know that Peter rebukes Jesus. Peter does not like that truth at all. And then after Peter rebukes Jesus, Jesus rebukes him. I wonder during those 6 days if there was conversation between Peter and Jesus, or if they just let that disagreement kind of fester and bubble up. 6 days can be an awful long time. Peter, as I said, doesn't want to accept the reality of this harsh truth, and Jesus is probably just as disappointed that his trusted disciple can't see him for who he truly is. Jesus goes on to tell the disciples that if they dare to continue to follow him, they too must pick up their crosses. That had to be a very hard word for the disciples to hear. 6 days, 6 days to let that truth sink in, 6 days to contemplate what it means to truly be a disciple, 6 days to ponder the reality of who Jesus of Nazareth really is. 6 days they wait, and then Jesus pulls aside Peter, John, and James, and then they make that trip up the mountain. Frederick Buechner describes the transfiguration this way. His face shone like the sun, Matthew says, and his garments became white as snow. Moses and Elijah were talking to him. There was a bright cloud overshadowing him, and out of it a voice saying, "This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." The three disciples who witnessed the scene fell on their faces and were filled with awe. It is as strange a scene as there is in the Gospels. Even without the voice from the cloud to explain it, they had no doubt what they were witnessing. It was Jesus of Nazareth, all right, the man they'd tramped many a dusty mile with, whose mother and brothers they knew, the one they'd seen as hungry, tired, and footsore as the rest of them. But it was also the Messiah, the Christ, in his glory. It was the holiness of the man shining through his humanness, his face so afire with it, they were almost blinded. The revelation of God in the glory of Jesus Christ. That changed those three disciples forever. They were eyewitnesses to this. It was a life-changing moment, as most mountaintop experiences are. I've often wondered if God's pronouncement, "Listen to him," was directed especially to Peter. Listen to him. Because Peter wants to build these dwellings. He wants to keep them on that mountain. He wants to claim that mountaintop experience and never go to Jerusalem. Peter's probably the one who struggled the most with Jesus' pronouncement about a suffering Messiah, and he's still struggling to manage the mystery and the chaos of that moment. And he's probably very fearful of the truth, fearful of the truth that when they leave that mountain, when they come down from that mountaintop experience, Jesus will have his face set for Jerusalem, and they will be on their own wilderness journey, not knowing what it will mean as Jesus faces his passion, what it will mean when Jesus comes to the cross. God says to all of us who are a little bit like Peter, listen to him, heed his voice, trust his words. Listen to him. Those are truly apt words for us today, words that we need to hear. Listen to him. Listen to Christ's word. Listen to the word of God in our holy scriptures. When you must come down from the mountaintop to what the valley holds, even if it is just an ordinary day, listen to him. Don't forget to hear his voice. Although in the days ahead for Peter, fear will sometimes override his faith, he obviously never forgot this mountaintop experience. For we hear in 2 Peter that he claims that that event was no mystery. I mean, was no myth. It was no fairy tale. It truly happened, and he was eyewitness to that event. He had stood on holy ground. He had heard the voice of God. He had witnessed God's glory, and it changed him. I'm sure that after the resurrection, after they contemplated this miraculous event, that they began to see what Jesus wanted them to see, that truly he was God's glory incarnate. He was God made real. And I'm sure they never forgot that. In that epistle lesson that Joe read for us this morning, we hear that he is trying to encourage a second generation of followers of Jesus to listen to those words again. Trust that. It's no fairy tale. It's no myth. This is the truth. We stood in the very presence of God, and it was Jesus Christ. That word of truth would be a light in the darkness for all those who lived in the valley. And it would be that light that would sustain them until Christ's coming again, when that bright morning star would sometimes be part of the dawning. That word, that light, that voice, that direction from Jesus would be the sustaining word. Listen to it. Listen to him. Listen to that voice of God, a voice that can and will sustain you until Christ comes again. In this day and age, we live in a world where it's hard to hear God's voice. It's hard at times, or it's becoming harder and harder to discern what is the truth. And you have to ask yourself, who is it that you listen to? Who is it that you trust? In the midst of all the noise and all the voices today, who is it that shares that very word of God? Or is that voice drowned out by all the other voices that get louder and louder? We are called to listen to God. Listen to that voice. Listen to that word. Some of you know the author C.S. Lewis. He was a great theologian, and also he wrote some children's stories. And those children's stories really have wonderful theological insights into them. He wrote a series of books that started with The Lion and the Witch and the Wardrobe. And it's now a movie. It was made a movie years ago. But in one of his books, The Silver Chair, he has this wonderful quote. And you need to know, if you don't know the story of The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, the lion Aslan is this Messiah figure, a savior. And so Aslan speaks his last words in this series, and he says, "Here on the mountain I have spoken to you clearly. I will not often do so down in Narnia. Here on the mountain the air is clear and your mind is clear. As you drop down into Narnia, into the valley, the air will thicken. Take great care that it does not confuse your mind. And the signs which you have learned here, you will not look at all as you expect, will not look at all as you expect them to look when you meet them there. That is why it is so important to know them by heart and pay no attention to appearance. Remember the signs and believe the signs. Nothing else matters." When you're on that mountaintop, you can clearly hear God, and you can be so grateful for what God has done for you. It's when you come down to the valley that you tend to forget. You tend not to listen. You tend to go your own way, especially in the everyday ordinariness of our lives. The mountaintop experiences are to cherish. We are to hear God's voice clearly, and then bring that joy and that excitement, that gratitude, that trust and that promise into our everyday living. So cherish the mountaintop experiences, even as you live in the valleys below, but especially listen to him. Listen to God's word. Listen to it. Amen.